And last week, we talked about the yoke that Jeremiah put on him as a sign of what God was going to put upon the nations and upon Jerusalem. Chapter 28 continues the thought of the yoke. So the time remains the same. We read, and it shall come to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, Thus speak the Lord of hosts, speak of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Jeremiah came with the yoke, and the false prophet said the yoke is broken. Notice that here we're talking about in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, and in chapter 27 we have beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. And I mentioned last week that that Jehoiakim should have been translated Zedekiah instead. We're talking about the same period of time. We're talking about when he come in and wore the yoke. And then down in verse 3, it's translated Zedekiah. So it wasn't Jehoiakim's reign, it was Zedekiah's reign. And Zedekiah, of course, we know, was the last king to reign. We talked about this before, he wasn't in God's will, but he was the last one to sit on the throne. So in his reign, now notice it says in the fourth year, and this might sound contradictory because it says in the beginning of the reign. Before somebody might say, well, fourth year wasn't the beginning of the reign. But the Jews were to draw things in half and divide things. So the first part would be 4 years because you reigned 11 years. And so they just said in the beginning, in the early part of his reign. Zedekiah, fourth year in the fifth month is when this took place. And Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet, which was from Gibeon. We might look at some things in this reign. Roberta, look in 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 11, down through there, I don't know just how many verses we want. And Jack, 2 Kings 25, and read verse 1, start with verse 11, 2 Chronicles 36. Drop on down to about verse 20. From verse 17, we see them being taken into captivity. Now, there was three, when they went into captivity, they went in stages. There were three stages, and one was with Jehoiakim, and they didn't carry very much. They just come and took the place, and they left them pretty well like they were, actually. Then in Jehoiakim, they came again. That's Kaniah. He only reigned 3 months, and they came and seized the city again and took some captives with them. And at that time, Nebuchadnezzar put Zedekiah on the throne and took Kaniah or Jehoiachin into Babylon. Then the third siege was at Zedekiah's reign. And then is when everything was taken out. Now, a lot of the things were taken when Kaniah was taken into Babylon. But when Zedekiah was taken, the city was practically destroyed. The temple was destroyed. Now, here's the thought I think we want to look in our chapter. If they would have just listened to God, went ahead and been subject to the will of God, then they would have come down there and during Jehoiakim's time, and that would have been it. But because of their rebellion against, they thought, Nebuchadnezzar, but it was really against God, because God had told them over and over that what he was going to do, then they lost everything, didn't they? Now, sometimes God brings us into places that we are learning lessons, being drawn close, sometimes it's actually correction. But if we just take things from the hand of the Lord, no matter how they look, we find that it'd be a lot easier on it. Well, they didn't want to do this. All right, 2 Kings 25:1. Now the 9th year, 10th month, and the 10th day. Now we have the 4th year and the 5th month, which would be the time we have here is about 5.5 months before they went into before the last siege. So it was kind of in between there. You see, part of the captives were already in Babylon. Part of them were left in Jerusalem. It was just a really hard time for them as far as decisions and what to do and where to go. So now we have the enemy comes in like a flood with a man by the name of Hananiah. And his name means the grace or favor of God. And you think, boy, if you just lived up to your name, we'd been all right. But he didn't. By the way, there's 14 different men named Hananiah in the Old Testament. If you remember in Daniel, Shadrach, his name was Hananiah. His regular given name was Hananiah. This false prophet was of a place called Gibeon. And if you read in Joshua of the actions of the Gibeonites, they come down and they lied, and Joshua made them hewers of wood and drawers of water for the tabernacle. And so some of this then became a Levitical city. And this is where this Hananiah is from. He was a Levite from the Levitical city. And this was the last place the ark dwelt before David came to take it to Jerusalem. Now, there was a couple of months delay in taking it there because they mistreated the ark. But this was the last permanent dwelling place for the ark after the Philistines returned it, and it dwelt at Kadesh Jerim for a while there. But David finally took it to Jerusalem. Another thing about Gibeon, it was a city belonging to Benjamin. And so this kind of tells us that this Hananiah was probably a Benjaminite. But notice where he stood in our lesson. He spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people. What a place to stand in order to lie, right? In the house of the Lord. Well, to me, when he lied there, it showed that he had very little respect for the temple or for God's sake that were in the temple. Jesus made this statement to the disciples. He said, swear not by the temple. And don't swear by anything, you know, higher than the Lord. But this is where he was. And if God's people would have respect for God's sakes, but he represents the false prophet that will also lie in the temple of God and set the abomination of desolation in the temple. So we have a picture here, I think, of the false prophet and his prophecies and the things that he talked about. And if these prophecies that Hananiah made would have been fulfilled, would have been a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? But notice what his prophecy is. I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them into Babylon. And we just, well, I think we didn't read about it, but during Coniah's reign, all these things, you see, were taken into Babylon. Well, the lying prophet said God's going to bring them all back. Within 2 years, he's going to do it. And later on, he repeats this same prophecy. Within 2 years, God's going to break the yoke and bring all those back into the temple. And I will bring again this place, Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, and I will break the yoke of the king. And these were lies. And not only is Hananiah a liar and a false prophet, but I think in this, Jeremiah represents the two witnesses that will take a stand during the tribulation time, and probably Zedekiah would represent the Antichrist. And if you want to look at some more representatives there, why, Babylon would probably represent the world leaders, the nations at that time, because they'll still be under the yoke of them when the tribulation starts. And so I think we have some wonderful pictures here of last day things. But this was definitely a false prophecy. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto Hananiah in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people that stood by the house, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. So be it. The word amen could have also been translated sure when it's used in a kind of a sarcastic way. Yeah, sure. As though he wasn't really agreeing with him. But if it were so, it would be wonderful. How could anybody say anything bad about it if God was going to do that? I think this could also be thought of as, when he said amen, we could might translate it or transliterate it. If you say so, the Lord do so. The Lord perform the words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away from Babylon. And oh, how wonderful it would be. But we know this is false. And I was thinking of how God's people are led astray by man's words. And even today we find that. They don't try to prove it. They don't seek the Lord. What if the people that were listening here would have fallen on their face and sought the Lord for truth? I believe God would have revealed it to them. But they didn't do that. They listened to what people have to say. And so it is. There's terrible people lie. And the Bible has so much to say about the tongue, especially the lying tongue. James tells us how powerful the tongue really is. And it's like a flame of fire that would destroy and bring down to nothing. I think five times in the Proverbs, the phrase lying tongue is used, and give different proverbs concerning how terrible the tongue is. Evelyn, Proverbs 12, 19 and 20 is a good one along that line. And Maxine, Psalms 120, verse 2, I think. And then over and over again, we have where Jeremiah talks about people lying. And so we have a comparative thing. Truth is forever, lying tongue is just for a moment. And it's going, and so it was really with Hananiah. It was just for a moment. Look at the last verse of this chapter. And it reads, so Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. 2 months after he made the prophecy, God judged him, and he died. That was pretty short. That was much, a little bit more than a moment, but it was pretty short time that this lie was effective, wasn't it? Read that in 120th Psalm. How terrible, see, the tongue is. And Jesus made a statement too. He said that the devil was a liar and the father of liars. And I think we can see that basically in here. So he didn't argue with him. He just said amen. And then he added to this thought. Verse 7. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak into thine ear, and hear in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of the prophecies, both against many countries, against great kingdoms of war and of evil, and of great pestilence. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke. So how do we know? How do we know what a prophet really is? Well, does his word come to pass? And when people talk the word of God, they had better be right. I think this should be the cry of every preacher's heart today. Lord, don't let me ever speak error. I want to be right. I want the words that come out of my mouth to be what you want it to. So he emphasized the importance of being right. And then Hananiah emphasized that he was right by taking the yoke off of Jeremiah and breaking it in verse 10. And there's a scripture in Deuteronomy. Who read that? Deuteronomy 18:22. And also Isaiah 8:19-20. How the enemy can, his voice can be used and people won't know the difference. Well, we know it didn't come to pass in 2 years, but he didn't live 2 years to see it either. Only lived 2 months. But we know that didn't come to pass because we know that Zedekiah was taken into captivity at a later time, another 5 years later. So we know this was not of God. And then Isaiah 8:19-20, and who was the light? And we have many preachers just like that. They go to a seminary to be preachers. Some of them are preachers because their dad was preachers and their grandpa was a preacher or something, and they have no light in them. The question might come up, how can we know the truth? How can we know the truth? Well, first place, Jesus says, I am the truth. But even in the Old Testament time, before the Messiah came, how can we know the truth? Well, when it's the direct word of God, then it has to be true. But God just doesn't make a statement. But he backs his statement up with statements. As we have been reading prophet after prophet after prophet, got up early in the morning and said the same thing over and over and over and over again. Now the Word of God, as far as I'm concerned, the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. And God repeats himself not to make a bigger book, or to take up more pages, but he repeats himself for emphasis so that we'll know this is what he meant to say, without any doubt. And we know that it is true. And then when we seek for truth and our heart tells us this is true, I believe that the Holy Spirit will tell us when we have truth. He'll convict truth to our heart and let us know. But we have to seek the Lord for knowledge. We have to seek him. It isn't a head knowledge. It isn't man's words, but it's what we seek from the Lord, that he reveals his things to our heart. All right. And so he broke the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck, and he made it to say just the opposite of what God intended it to say. God intended to say, we're going to put a yoke or a burden on you and take you carry away in Babylon. But the false prophet took the same thing and twisted it and said he's going to break Nebuchadnezzar. Notice verse 11. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 years, and the prophet Jeremiah went his way. So here's a twisting of the word, making it say what God never intended to say to begin with. Now this isn't a new thing, it's always has been. And even Peter makes a statement that they twist Paul's words in the third chapter of 2 Peter. So this is the means of the enemy. This is the way, well, it goes clear on back to the garden, doesn't it? God, hath God surely said this? God hath not said you shall surely die. And so the thought here goes clear back of twisting the word of God. But notice that Jeremiah didn't even answer him at this time. Somebody said, well, why didn't he? Because God wasn't speaking to him at this time. When God is silent, we must learn to be silent also. And when God speaks, then we can speak. So Jeremiah just simply went his way. And then the word of God came to Jeremiah the prophet. After that, Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yoke of wood, but thou shalt make them yoke of iron. Now, which one is the heaviest? which one would you rather wear? A yoke of wood or a yoke of iron? And so what you're saying here, all right, if you don't want to bear this yoke that I've given you, then we'll make one heavier for you. We'll make the burden even greater, if that's what you want. So, thus saith the Lord, verse 14. Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the necks of all the nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. They shall serve. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. The word beast here is a word that's used for any living thing. Not necessarily wild beast, not necessarily tame, but domestic beast. But any living thing in the field, God gave to Nebuchadnezzar. So no one could come up and say, well, this is mine. And God has the right to give it because he's sovereign. After all, he made it, didn't he? So he has the right to give anything he wants to. Then said prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah. And now he's speaking directly to him. The Lord hath not sent thee, but thou hast made this people to trust in a lie. Now, but notice before, they were saying in the presence of the priests and all the people. But in verse 15, this was on one-to-one basis. And he's telling them that he was a liar, and he made the people to trust in a lie. And then in verse 16, therefore saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die. This is an interesting statement. Cast from off the face of the earth. Of course, at that time, Sheol, Lower Sheol, was in the bowels of the earth. And could have been that, you know, the face or the surface of the earth. And death would be in the bowels of the earth. Because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. It wasn't rebelling against Nebuchadnezzar. They were rebelling against the Lord. And so Hananiah, the prophet, died the same year in the seventh month.